As always, I speak in the name of the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the privilege of what my title enables me to do within parish ministry. It enables me to visit homes, to be with folk in the most difficult and the most happy moments of their lives. And one of the things over the years that I've really grown to love and enjoy is officiating at weddings. It's a wonderful day. And each wedding that I've been part of, and I've got to remind myself, is new and fresh. Each wedding is totally different than the last. There are some common elements, of course, but each wedding is new and fresh. And as I try to relax the people, or try to relax the bride and groom, you know, all that tension of all the things that have to be done and the tension in the few days beforehand, and then the day arrives, the moment arrives. One of the things that I try to do is to relax folk. And I always say to folk that a wedding day is to be enjoyed, isn't it? It's one of those days that if you can't enjoy a wedding day, well, I wonder what day you can enjoy in life. Everyone's in good form. Everybody's looking their best. Friends and family gather together around the bride and groom on a wonderfully happy occasion. And during the wedding service, there is a lovely prayer. After all the vows have been exchanged, I take the rings, I pray God's blessing upon them. And then the couple, as I pray, hear these words. Heavenly Father, may these rings be to the couple a symbol of unending love and faithfulness to remind them of the vow and covenant which they have made this day. They make promises and vows to each other, and the ring is a symbol of that unending circle of love. We've been journeying through John's Gospel these last couple of weeks, and I've decided for our next sermon series to keep going, to keep journeying through John's Gospel and to see what John has to say and teach us, especially to explore what John has to say about Jesus. And as we pick up today's text from John chapter 2, which we read a few moments ago, as always, do follow along, it's full of symbols, it's full of commitment, and it's full of intent that I want us to see today. In the preceding passage, if you remember, Jesus has arrived on the scene. He has been announced by John as the one who is the Lamb of God, the one who has come to take away the sins of the world, our sins. And then we read in the second part of John chapter 1 that Jesus chooses 12 disciples to gather around him. And then, as we pick up our passage from John chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us that Jesus is at a wedding in Cana in Galilee. And like with our weddings today, in our culture, a wedding was a big deal. A wedding was a great celebration, often lasting a number of days. Unlike our custom, though, it was the groom's family who were expected to provide for the wedding. It was the groom's family who were expected to pay for all the refreshments and all the festivities. And as they're gathered together in the wedding celebration, unfortunately, the passage tells us something happens. The wine runs out. And verse 3, it tells us that Jesus' mother comes to Jesus and says, they have no more wine. I'm tempted to say it was an early Irish wedding. But whatever, it is a devastating statement. There's no more wine. Perhaps there were more guests than they anticipated, or perhaps the guests were more thirsty than they anticipated. But whatever has happened, it's a situation that has the potential for huge embarrassment. What's the potential for embarrassment? The mean so-and-sos. They couldn't even pay for enough wine for the wedding. A moment of embarrassment for the bride and groom and for the groom's family. As we say, the rest of the story is history. Jesus turns the water into wine. Panic over. And John calls this the first of Jesus' miracles. And it's not any cheap plunk that Jesus turns the water into. It is the best of the best. The best of the best. And when we scratch the surface of this wedding account, we see that it is more than saving the blushes of a bride and groom. It has a deeper meaning. And as always, as we read scripture, there is the straightforward meaning, but there is the deeper meaning that John and others communicate to us. Its purpose is to point the reader in the right direction. And as I say, the reading is filled with incredible symbolism to achieve its aim. So what does this reading tell us? Well, the changing of the water into wine is an event that reveals publicly for the first time who Jesus is, that he is able to do the miraculous. It also gives us a clue as to his true identity, the Savior of the world. But with this in mind, John begins with the words, if you have the passage in front of you, on the third day. Again, what is he pointing towards? Well, he's pointing towards the resurrection on the third day, which will be the final revelation of who Jesus is. Then in verse 3, we are told, as I've said, the wine gave out. They have no wine. Again, the symbolism of this is that in the Old Testament, the Jewish nation has been unfaithful to God. Their relationship with God has run out in a way. The wine running out represents this failure. But Jesus' first miracle signifies the very opposite. It signifies God's unlimited grace and God's unlimited faithfulness. Even though the people may have given up on God, God has not given up on them. In verse 6, Jesus underlines this again as he points them towards the 6 empty stone jars. Each stone jar holds 20 to 30 gallons, so about 180 gallons. I'm not sure, is it about 4 litres to a gallon? Anyway, it's an awful lot of water. The jars were there to perform what is called the cleansing ritual, where people would have washed their hands and perhaps washed feet and so on. Symbolically, it represents the inadequacy of the old law to get the job done. No matter how sinful folk were, the old law would not make them clean. The enormous quantity of water and ultimately wine, which is used to fill them, again, on a symbolic level, allows us to see the inexhaustible supply of God's grace, God's cleansing grace that will never run out. In verse 10, as we come near the end of the passage, the head waiter exclaims, "Everyone serves the good wine first, but you have kept the good wine until now." Again, symbolically, this states the point of the story. God has kept the best until last, the new wine. Jesus is superior to anything that has gone before. Jesus is the ultimate effort by God to reconcile with us. In this passage, John is interested in the meaning of the event rather than the facts of it. It's not so much Jesus' power to change water into wine, which is significant. Rather, it is his unique position in the history of salvation. This passage is about turning hopelessness into hopefulness. It's about turning division from God into a personal relationship. This is the glory of Jesus revealed. So on one level, this is a story about the kindness of Jesus, saving a young couple from their embarrassment. But on another and much deeper level, this passage as a symbol points to the gospel story. It points how the old way of things symbolized as both water for purification and wine for joyful life is inadequate in both supply and flavor to deliver on its promise. But God in Jesus has introduced something new into his creation, which brings humanity, brings us to a new level, a new deeper dimension of living, and to a new opportunity to be reconciled by God through faith. So as we read this passage today, it's a sign that points and guides and informs us. so that we too continue in and on the right way towards God. And as we think about it, I want to finish with the reworking of the wedding prayer that I began with, a prayer that reminded the couple as the rings were blessed of their unending love for each other. But this time I want the prayer to remind us of God's commitment, God's love, God's grace, and God's loving intent for each of us, always unending. So let us pray as we reflect on this passage. Heavenly Father, may this story remind each of us of your unending love and faithfulness to us, of your vow and covenant which you have made and continue to make to us this day and forevermore. Amen.